Hello, I'm Lee Benton, pastor of the Open Door Baptist Church. I want to take the opportunity to say that our congregation and myself thanks you for taking the time to listen to this Bible study today. This Bible study was given from the pulpit right here at Open Door Baptist on a Wednesday evening. Our prayer is that this study of God's infallible Word will help you to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Thank you, and may the Lord bless you.
If you would, open your Bibles to Acts, book of Acts, chapter number 3 is where we're going to be tonight. And I'm going to share with you what God's laid upon my heart. Hope all of you had a wonderful, blessed day today. Pollen's taking its toll on all of us, I'm sure. We have to bear with it. It's that pollen that, believe it or not, produces a seed and makes a seed grow. Isn't that amazing that God uses that and so designed that to be carried around by bees and things to make things grow as God's Word makes us grow. So it's truly a blessing. Acts chapter number 3, if you stand, I'll read just a few verses and we'll get right into the Word of God. Just to share with you, I'd been studying on this and I've actually preached out of it a few times, but I was preparing a message for the teenagers today and wrote down a few points. And then after the pastor called, I looked back at it and I wanted to second guess myself on it, but I was second guessing God, I realized. And I said, if it wasn't good enough for the church family upstairs, it surely wasn't good enough for the teens. Amen? It's God's Word. It's good enough for all of us, right? Okay. Acts chapter 3, verse 1. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asking alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Lord, you know my heart tonight, Lord God. I have no desire other than to please you. Lord, I pray that you would use me and help me, Lord God, to be a witness, Lord, to these folks tonight. I love each and every one of them, Lord God. I thank you for them. I thank you for their attendance, Lord. I thank you for them being faithful to the house of God, to the Word of God. Lord, just push me aside and use me tonight, Lord. In Christ Jesus' name, amen. Thank all of you again for being here. The pastor let you know Sunday I might be preaching. Some of you might not have been here. No, I know all of you would. You're faithful, and I love you, and I thank you. But let's look right here at a few points. I'm not a very good points preacher. I've been working on that, and my pastor's a wonderful teacher of it. And just I've learned if you just take what's in the Word of God and just study it and pray over it. The most important thing is pray over it. So many of us pick up our Bibles and start to read, and we don't pray first, and we've got a million things going through our mind. Let the Scripture reveal what God wants you to see. And the first thing I saw here in verse 1 that is really close to my heart, and if you bear with me, I'll get it out. Now, Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer. And I don't know how many of you came in tonight with somebody, walked in, or walked in alone. And it's very important, Christian companionship. These are all characteristics of a Christian, if you would, a Christian character. And us being children of God, saved, redeemed, bought by the blood, we need to act like Christians. And Christian companionship is very important. If you came in with somebody tonight, you are truly blessed. there's many folks come along to church, not because they want to, but because they have to. And you know, it's just truly a blessing to have a Christian companion. David said, "I was glad when they said, 'Let's go into the house of the Lord.' I'm always here. I'm always glad. I'm always faithful. The most help I get comes from right here at the house of God." And you know, Peter and John were going there. Peter and John were changed here from the way they used to be. They followed Jesus, but some things had happened, and they had witnessed the resurrected Lord, and they've both been filled by the Holy Spirit. This is after the Pentecost. They're not the same as they used to be. And they're going up there together into the temple at the hour of prayer. I think that's very important. Thank God we have a house of God here tonight we can gather. And thank God we have an hour of prayer we can pray. We just spent a few minutes in prayer, but you need to set aside that time each day for that hour of prayer and a house of prayer. Wow, those are wonderful things. But a Christian companionship, looking back at that just a minute, it's a blessing to those who have it, and it's a burden to those who don't. I can tell you from experience, faithfulness in prayer to the Lord will change that, I believe, with all my heart. Some things that you can't change, God can. We keep forgetting that He's in control of everything. I'm going to change the burden of not having companionship, people that I love being at the house of God with me, into a blessing from God by being faithful in prayer and fellowship with God, and He will restore that companionship. So thank God you have Christian companions. And that goes not just at your church. It goes outside your church life, too. Pastor, I remember him telling one of the teens the other day in here that, you know, you show me who your friends are, and I'll show you who you are, whom you soon shall be. The folks you hang around and about with, that's what will rub off on you. So, you know, if you have... you need to hang out with Christian folks. Be honest with you, I don't have friends, hardly any at all, other than here at the church. Honestly, my so-called old friends don't like to hang around me much no more. I don't know why. I think it's because I'm different. I've changed. And that's a good thing. Amen. But I believe with all my heart God can make these changes. It's all about faith in Him and what you believe. That companionship is completely based upon faith. And each time I go to the Lord in prayer, I have faith that He can do exactly what I ask Him to do, because He is God. The book of Hebrews says that he that cometh to God must believe that He is God. First thing of all, you got to believe who He is, and He can do what He says He can do. So trust in the Lord. And it also says that He is a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. He will reward you for those efforts and faithfulness and prayer time. But that's my first point, is Christian companionship. Peter and John, they's going up into the temple to pray at the hour of prayer, being about the ninth hour. That's about 3 o'clock in the evening, I believe, and... They went up there. That's about the same time they did the sacrifices and stuff. But they were going up there to pray. And verse 2 says, "And a certain lame man from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered in." Now get that picture in your mind. These two Christians is going to church. Well, we all should be doing, amen? And they get over to the house of God, the temple. I looked a little bit up on that. It was an eastern gate, believe that. And they've now discovered the old part of the Golden Gate that was to the right side of that, buried in some ruins there in Jerusalem. But that was the eastern gate that led into that temple, which was called the Gate Beautiful. Isn't that amazing? God's going to come back in the eastern sky. How about that? Hallelujah. You want to get to Him? You'll be looking for Him, watching for Him at the eastern gate, at the eastern sky. But They carried this man daily because he was lame and laid him at that gate at the house of God at the door of the temple. Now, and these two Christian men are walking up, going to church, going to have an hour of prayer, and they see this lame man laying there. Now, we might just see a crippled man laying there, but there's more to the story than that, a lot more. And us as Christians, we so often walk by those lame and crippled and blind folks and don't even look upon them. We might glance at them and we see what I'll call here is the sin. We don't see the sinner. We don't see the sinful condition that they're in. It says here he's lame. Are they preaching about sin? Peter and John, it's all about sin. Jesus always preached on the sin. It was what he came for. It's what he died for. He used the miracles to show that he would, to have faith in him, you could be healed. You could be made whole again. It's always about the sin. And to make that plain, it says, look, verse 2, he was lame from his mother's womb. You remember the story, I believe it's over in the book of John, where Jesus and his disciples are walking, and his disciples see that blind man, and they say, why is he blind? Was it because he sinned or his parents sinned? He just says, no, he was born blind. We're all born blind. We're all born lame. We're all born crippled. We're all born naked. I don't know of any baby that come out with a onesie on. Do y'all? Amen. I've been changing a lot of them here lately. But you know, you come out blind, crippled, and naked. We're all the same. We're born sinners. We have a sinful nature. So he's using this here. Peter is going to preach Jesus to him, and that's the message. It's always the message. If you're getting preached to and you ain't getting preached or teached Jesus, the crucifixion of Christ, the burial and the resurrection, you're not getting preached or teached to. There's many things that go along with that, but that's the ultimate message. That is the message. That is the only message, the gospel of Jesus Christ. He said he was carried, whom they carried and laid daily there. There was somebody already having some compassion on this man, and that's my second point, is Christian compassion. You know, we need to have some Christian companionship to grow in our Christian character. You want to be a Christian, you need to hang around. If you hang around folks in the world, you're going to act like folks in the world. If you hang around Christians, you're going to act like Christians. But we need to have some Christian compassion. I mentioned that earlier, that we sometimes walk by those folks and see them, and we just see the sin. We don't see the sinner. And I'm so for that, and God rebuked me of it several times. And you know, sin is sin, bottom line. God hates sin. It's what nailed His Son, Jesus Christ, to the cross. It was our sin, and it still is, and sin is sin. It don't matter. There's no such thing as a little sin or a big sin or a thought about it. It's sin. But we've got to see the sinner through the sin. There's people hurting in this world. I mean, think about it. The gay rights, the homosexuals, all that is wickedness from hell. But it's sin. It's wrong. It's an abomination to the Lord. But we cannot hate the sinner. We have to hate the sin. It's okay to hate sin. God wants you to hate sin. I beg God all the time, Lord, help me hate sin more. Because the more you hate sin, the more you will avoid it, the more you'll turn to God. If you hate sin, but love the sinner. Love the sinner. We've got to love the sinner. You can't condemn a man just because he is in sin. Condemn his sin. It's not of us to condemn him anyway. It's of the Lord. Right? He judges all things. He was carried daily by others. It doesn't mention who. It just says by whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered in. This man was in such a condition that he couldn't work for a living. He was laid there at the gate to beg money of people. And I find it interesting that sometimes we walk by those folks and don't drop a little change in their bucket. You can kind of look at folks and tell if they're real or not. You know, you get some that walk around in little cans wanting some money just to go buy some alcohol with, things like that. But, you know, when you help these good Christian causes of folks that are poor and needy, that's showing compassion. Compassion. He's still God. He's large and in charge. I believe that with all my heart. These physical burdens that we have, this man had a physical burden. He was lame. He had to be carried around. He couldn't work for a living. They can be turned into a spiritual blessing. Not by us, by God. We can't change those kind of things. I would desire so much that my wife was not in the physical condition that she is in. There's absolutely nothing I can do about it. Absolutely. I turned it over to the Lord years ago, and God has used doctors to help her, medication. Sometimes she gets worse, sometimes she gets better. It is my desire that she walks into this church every time I come with me. You know? I have no control over it. I can't change it. But God can. See, I believe that with all my heart. God can. God can. Spirit, turn those physical burdens into spiritual blessings. You can do it through prayer and faith in the one who can. He was carried daily by others. Think about that. How many times do you pray for others? Carrying things to the Lord. We sang that old song, "Take It to the Lord in Prayer." You know, I believe God will meet our needs personally if we put the needs of others in front of our needs. If you get down to pray and you first don't start out asking God for this, asking God for that, or start out by asking God to have mercy on you, just first thing, Lord, have mercy on me. That's the way to start your prayer. Have mercy on me. He knows how we are. He knows what we do every day. And then start bringing others to the Lord in prayer. Put yourself last. Put the others first. That's compassion. The book of Jude, verse 22, I believe it is, says, and some having compassion. See, some have it, some don't. It goes on to say that it, pulling each other, others out of the fire. I've got it written down here. And some have compassion, making a difference. That's it. You want to make a difference in somebody's life? Have compassion on them. Don't just jump all over somebody for something. We're studying in the book of James how we need to be swift to hear and slow to speak and slow to wrath. So many times we let things just fly on to us and we fly off on somebody else. Have a little compassion and make a difference. It says, and others saved by fear, pulling them out of the fire. Amen. Amen. Don't you want to have some compassion? Look how much compassion He had upon us.
Yeah, amen.
Right?
Amen.
Oh, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Think about that. I mean, He has compassion on me daily. Brother Allen, my flesh is wicked. I'm a filthy, wicked sinner. And each day God has compassion on me. I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh upon me. If I did half the things that went through my little feeble mind sometimes, it'd probably put me in jail. Are y'all with me? Y'all know what I'm talking about? Y'all get them thoughts too. I'm not the only one. I'd be in jail tonight. But, you know, thank God that He has compassion. He's put His Holy Spirit within me that helps me to overcome those thoughts and cast them down. They used to come into my head and I'd mull them around and then they'd ease their way down into my heart. Now they come in my head, and I smack myself in the head, and they go out the other side. You know, what are you thinking about that for? You have to do that sometimes. Smack yourself upside the head. Right? Amen. Pastor said the rod was crooked because the Lord was hitting him with it. Right? Amen. I've been hit with it a few times. Amen. Remember we was teaching about them sheep in Sunday school a couple weeks ago, what the shepherd do to them that rambled off. Brother Tim, Brother Cook, that's yours to me, and you was talking about that. He'd break her leg, wouldn't he? He'd have one of them sheep he loved so much and it loved to ramble. He'd break their leg, and then he had compassion on it. He'd pick it up and carry it back, and he'd mend it. And then that sheep would love him oh so much the more. He'd stick closer to that shepherd then. Have compassion upon others. They carried him daily. It said there that he was at birth. He was that way. From his mother's womb, he was a sinner. He was crippled. Who, seeing Peter and John, verse 3, about to go into the temple asking alms. Now he was looking at these two Christian men walking into the house of God, and he saw them coming. And he looked upon them. And he thought, well, these boys might have some pocket change they can give me, you know. They probably looked well. They wasn't old scraggly men. They spent time with the Lord. They know how to walk right and act right and talk right, like we ought to. Amen. Folks see you out in the world, they ought to know you're a Christian by the way you walk, your conversation, by the way you talk. And he saw them coming, and he says, I can get some money out of these boys. And he was asking alms of them. But he was about to get more than what he thought he was going to get. He was about to get more than he bargained for. And Peter fastened his eyes upon him. See, Peter didn't just pass him by, because Peter remembered where he'd come from. Peter cursed the Lord. He forsook the Lord. And he remembered that. I believe with all my heart, each time Peter preached one of these messages about the crucifixion of Christ, boy, it boiled in his heart what he had done to the Lord and then what the Lord had done for him. And he fastened his eyes on this man because he knew, he looked upon him, he said, oh, he's just like I used to be. And John was right there with him, and he said, look on us. Look on us. Why do you want them to look at him? Because they was about to give him something that he needed so more than he needed in money. Than he needed some change. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. That'll be our third point. It comes from this man because he's a sinner. It's going to apply to Christians as it applies to Peter and John here. A sinner ought to expect something. The Word of God is plain upon that. Plain. You can expect eternal judgment from our Lord Jesus Christ. You can expect hell. I mean, it's plain and simple. There's no variance there. There's no on the left side a little bit, on the right side a little bit. It's either you're saved or you're lost. So there's no in-between. Right. Now, we ought to come to church expecting something. Look at that. He gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something. You ought to come to the house of God tonight expecting something to happen. I mean, even if you knew that I was preaching or the pastor was preaching or if we had a missionary, expecting to get some help from God. Getting fed by the Word of God, it's got absolutely nothing to do with me or what I say, my thoughts. It's got to do with the Word of God and how you apply it to your life. See, this Word of God here is the text of God inspired, holy breathed Word. I can't add nothing to it. I can't take nothing away from it. It's Him. And we ought to come to church that way. When you come in here Sunday morning, you ought to come to church thinking somebody's going to get saved today. Oh, wouldn't that be wonderful? That's the other than being saved yourself, that's the most blessed experience you can have, is to see somebody else get saved. Whether you're out there at the altar with them praying or you're sitting on the back pew, it don't matter. Just to see somebody receive the glory of God. Hallelujah. Come to church expecting something. Don't come to church, walk in the door with your bottom lip dragging the ground, kicking the can, and expect to get some help. You're not going to get it that way. Come to church expecting to get some help. Lord, help me. I know I've been bad all week. I've got problems. The world's turned upside down. I'm right in the middle of it. I don't know what to do, but you can help me. If you come to church expecting to receive something, you'll get more than you ask for. You always will. Remember the bread? Pastor preached on the bread. The bread would have been sufficient. He'd give them some meat. And look how much they had left. Hey, what you ask of God and what you expect of God, He is able to do exceedingly and abundantly more. That's wonderful. That ought to make you jump up and down. Now, whatever you desire, it's not out of His reach. It's not out of His reach. Absolutely. Now, there was something different about these boys. Peter and fasting his eyes upon him with John, said, "Look on us." They looked at that man laying at that gate who they brought down there every day. I don't know how long they'd been doing it. They said he was lame from his mother's womb. I don't know if it was something they did from when he was a child until this time. It doesn't give the man's age right here. But they took him every day and laid him there. And Peter and John didn't look at him as being a poor, crippled, homeless beggar. That would have been looking at the sin. They didn't look at him as being wretched, miserable, dirty, nasty, rotten, filthy, probably hadn't had a bath, old tore raggy clothes. They didn't see that. They looked upon the sinner himself. See, so oftentimes we get to looking at the sin of somebody. And we need to look at the sinner. They need help. Pray for them. Pray for them. So many people in the world will never walk in this church door. They'll never walk in any church door because they've been poked at, hollered at, screamed at because of their sin. And nobody's offered them the help of the one who can help them. Nobody's ever given them God's Word. Nobody's ever preached the gospel to them. Those men at the rescue mission up there, each and every one of them, you can look at them and tell they've had rough lives. They've had hard lives. All of them are homeless. Most of them are jobless. Brother Ken and those folks up there do all they can to help them. But when you go in there and you look at those men, you can just look at them and see the sin scars upon them. A sin will leave scars. They're marked bodies. They're feeble bodies. But you've got to look beyond that. Our Lord had scars to look at for our sin. Forgiveness of sin. See, we've got to learn to forgive those folks. We've got to learn to help those folks. Pray for them. Give them something. Give them something. Give them a Bible tract. I felt guilty the other day. I ran into two young men and I didn't have any Bible tracts in my truck. I used to keep them in there and working back and forth so much and on the road, I've gotten out of the habit of that. Shame on me. Let's go get some tracks tonight. That's a seed. That's a seed. Give them God's Word. A lot of times you can't stand and talk to a person for 5 minutes, 10 minutes, but you can just hand them a tract. They take it home, they read it, and God's Word plants that seed. And he gave heed unto them expecting to receive something of them. Now, he had some confidence as a sinner expecting something from somebody. Now, ain't that just like a sinner? You think about it. They always want something from somebody and they want it for nothing. I mean, it's a shame. It is. I heard a pastor the other day preaching. I was listening to it on the internet. Good preaching. He was preaching on the rapture and how that when the rapture takes place, all the Christians, the tax-paying, working Christians is going to be gone, and all these folks that don't work and get everything for free is going to be in chaos because there ain't going to be no money to support them no more. Amen? And that's true. You think about it. Usually they're in a sinful condition, a sinful state, and they don't know what to do other than ask help from somebody, and they want it for nothing. That's the way the sinner looks at it. But Peter and John, in verse 6, they make it plain and clear that the money ain't going to help you. And we ought to realize that as a Christian. We probably ain't going to ever have a whole lot of nothing, but we got Jesus, right? Amen? I don't care if they bury my old wretched, ragged body in a pine box that Brother Archie saws up and chops up and nails together. It don't matter. I'm not going to be there no way. But I got Jesus. Amen? Right. I'd rather have Jesus than all the riches. My treasures and my hopes are somewhere beyond the blue. Peter said, silver and gold have I none. I ain't got none of that. Now, wait a minute. This is some confidence right here. Peter shied himself away from the Lord and went and hid. Now, I didn't read out of Acts chapter 2, but he's already got up and preached one time because, see, he's filled with the Holy Ghost now. That makes a difference. When God moves in and you stay close to Him, you can't shut up. I get carried away sometimes. I get at work and my boss wants me to go back to work, but I can't because we get Brother Harold comes visit sometimes. Me and him get talking about the Lord and we just can't go back to work right yet till we get done. You know? Ain't nothing wrong with that. We make up the work later, but Peter's a little different here. He said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have. He knew what he had. See, if you got it, you know it. There's people that say, well, you ask them, if you died, would you go to heaven? Well, I hope I will. They ain't got it. If you got it, you know it. I know He lives. He lives inside my heart. Sometimes I don't always act like it. Sometimes I don't always feel so saved. I've heard my pastor say that. I've had days, and all of you have them. If you hadn't had them, you will have them. Believe me, that you feel like, well, I don't know, but then that Holy Spirit gets to stirring, and it quickeneth you again. It gets stirred up in you, and you get to remembering how you used to be and how you ain't that way no more. And why you ain't that way no more, see. And Peter, see, he gets excited here. He's ready to preach again. He says, such as I have, give I thee, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. That took some confidence. Peter, a fisherman, standing before a crippled man, said, rise up and walk. Like he was Jesus. No, see, he wasn't Jesus. He makes it clear on down here. See, he had the power of God on him. We could all use more of that. Amen? We could all use more of the power of God on us, the touch of God. I love it when I get alone in my prayer time and I can just feel God just snuggle right up to me and just get a hold to me. You know? I've heard people say, I have a hard time getting a hold of the Lord. Well, if you let Him get a hold of you a few times, you wouldn't have as much trouble getting a hold to Him. It's much easier, the closer you stay to Him, to get a hold to Him. Right? Really? If He's way off over there, you can't get a hold to Him, C.G. You can't reach Him. But if you stay close to Him, get that hour of prayer, your fellowship time with Him every day. David wrote that he fellowshiped with Him three times a day. He prayed three times a day. Daniel, he was up to seven, I think it was. There ain't nothing wrong with praying all day long. If I could, I would. You know, amen? The best times I have are in the presence of the Lord. I mean, when I'm in His presence, I absolutely know that nothing can touch me. Absolutely nothing. The cares of this world, the fears of anything cannot touch me. and I'm in His presence, that's when I'm at my best. I mentioned earlier the best times that I have been right here in the house of God.
Amen.
I mean, you know, we have good times with our family and stuff at home and different places, but, you know, truly your best time is spent right here in the house of God. You ought to cherish it. Cherish it every time. Peter and John had this confidence more than ever they had before. And I believe the reason why is because they'd spent so much time with God, and now they're filled with the Holy Spirit, and they were doing exactly what God told them to do. They were preaching the gospel. You look back over in chapter 2 there, they had a meeting, a preaching meeting, and it says that there was 3,000 souls saved. That was a good meeting, wasn't it? Amen. They don't have them kind no more. I mean, it's a shame that there's not somebody saved here every Sunday. You know, you get these big mega churches, and I had a friend of mine telling me about one over here in Cumming, Georgia, that I believe that he said there was over 150 people got baptized on a Sunday morning. And I had to bite my tongue. I said, Jeff, how many of them were saved? Baptizing don't get the job done. It's okay to have a good worship service, and I can't stand that word, worship leader. Amen? That ain't nothing but a glorified rock star. You can take that or leave it, but if you got to pay a man to come in and get the church fired up before the man of God preaches... Oh, Lord, we all need to spend some more time on our knees. God did not promote the office. He did not set up that ordinance for them to be a worship leader. No such thing. Not Bible. Pastors and deacons. Amen. Preachers and teachers. Right? Worship leaders. Let them go get a job at a carnival somewhere. Amen. He said,
amen.
Silver and gold I have none, but such as I have, I give thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Boy, I'm telling you, a lot of us need to do that. Just rise up and walk like a Christian. We spend all our time laying around, wallowing in our troubles, wallowing in things that's going on in the world. I got them too. Everybody in here, if I called on you and you raised your hand, you could tell me something that's going on right now. God knows it. God knows your heart. You don't have to share it with everybody. But it's a sin. It's a sin to lay there and water in it. So many times Jesus said, rise up. Get up out of it and go on. You can't do nothing about it. Gas prices, $4 or $5 a gallon. We don't know. Food prices up so high. We don't know. I mean, presidents, we ain't got nothing to choose from. I mean, what do we do? Take it to the Lord in prayer and rise up and walk. Walk like Christians supposed to walk. See, we got to realize all this is coming into place. God has foreordained everything that's going on today for us to get out of here. It's going to happen, I believe with all my heart. We in the last hours of the last days. There's so many people doubting God's Word, saying, when's He coming back? When's He coming back? Well, that's Scripture. That even if they're saying that, they're fulfilling the Scripture. They're dropping out of churches like flies. They're fulfilling the Scripture. That means it's near. Right? It's at hand. It's fixing to happen. Look up, pray up, we're going up. Amen? Amen? All right, here we go. Rise up and walk. He come to church expecting something to happen. He got more than he bargained for.
Amen.
Now look at verse 8. Well, let's look. We've got to go back up to 7. And he took him by the right hand, speaking of Peter, and lifted him up. And immediately his feet and ankle bones received their strength. Now Peter had absolutely nothing to do with this man being healed other than obeying God. God spoke to Peter's heart as he walked up to the temple and saw that man, he said, Peter, look upon that man and reach out your hand, which was the almighty hand of God, going through Peter, the Holy Spirit, and give him a helping hand. Wherever you at, whatever trouble you in, God's arm is not short. He can reach you. I don't believe a man can go so far that he cannot be saved until he takes his last breath of life. I'd hate to wait till then. Amen? You might not get that last breath out. Right? The arm of the Lord is not short. Don't make it a deathbed confession. They happen sometimes. It's only because of God's grace, His compassion, and His mercy. Peter reached out his hand, and the man took it, and immediately, it says, that's how quick God works. Amen? Sometimes we get anxious waiting on Him, but when God knows it's right, and God knows it needs to happen, it'll happen just like that, immediately. It says that his feet and ankle bones receive strength. Now, this man hadn't been able to walk since birth. That's miraculous. You know that I was studying some stuff on bones the other day for another message, and God made our bodies so wonderful. And I didn't know this. Some of you might be smarter than me. You might know it already. The doctors in here. If you break your left leg, and it's back to the sheep where I got this from, God has so designed our body that, you know, even without setting that leg, that bone will grow back together. But in the meantime, God has so wonderfully and fearfully made you that, Brother Tim, your other leg will automatically grow more stronger. Your bone will grow more density to support the weakness of your other leg. Oh, that's God, man. Doctors can't do that kind of stuff. Amen? That's from God. So see, He makes provision for everything. This, his ankle, immediately. God said immediately, that man's ankles and his feet and his legs, just strong. And so what did the man do? Oh, look at verse 8. And he leaping, he didn't just crawl up. We were working my little granddaughter trying to get her to crawl, and she don't like to crawl, she wants to walk. I don't know. I keep telling her, you got to learn to crawl before you walk. But she gets aggravated. I pick her belly up, and she'd get her hands and knees, and she'd flop her belly back down, and she'll beat her fist on the ground, her knees. But she has to have something to pull up on. She needs a little. This man didn't need that. Peter got him by the hand. That was just the hand of God reaching out to him through Peter, through the gospel, and boom, he leaped up. It says he leaped up, stood, and walked, hallelujah, and entered with them into the temple. First place he went, hallelujah, was to the house of God. God does something for you. I love the testimonies, the ones that glorify God. When God does something for you, share it with folks. It'll help them. Amen. God, and God's so good to us every day anyway. His blessings, He just loadeth with His benefits every day. We ought to be happy to come to the house of God. Every time the door's open, you ought to be here at church. I'm a firm believer of that. I know there's sickness and jobs and stuff, and my family is probably one of the worst ones, but hallelujah, through faith in God, He can fix that. I can't, He can. Amen. Pray for them folks. Pray for my family. Please pray for my. Leaping, stood and walked and entered into the temple, walking and leaping. Hey, this man was happy. I guarantee you. He was walking and leaping. I can just see him like David when he danced before the Lord. A lot of people say that when they're dancing in the Bible. Yeah, they was dancing in the Bible. The Word of God says so, but it was a joyful leaping for the Lord. I guarantee you, David was jumping up and down and shouting, hallelujah, glory to God. And that's what this man was doing. He wasn't just walking, and he wasn't just leaping. He was praising God. Amen. He was praising God. That Christian confidence that Peter and John now had more than ever before, is because they believed and they stood for what they believed.
Really?
That's where your confidence ought to come from. I'm just going back to touch on that point for just a minute. If you don't have confidence in what you believe, the world's going to doubt what you say. Amen? I've grown a lot in the Word of God, I feel, and I'm still growing. I'll never get where I need to be. But I'm a lot further than I used to be. Let me put it that way. God, it's only by the help of the Lord Jesus Christ and study and prayer. But I know absolutely that I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. Now, you ought to be able to say that and tell somebody that and believe it and with confidence. Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. He said, "This is my Son, and who am I well pleased?" Amen? You ought to be able to say, "I believe that Jesus Christ died for my sins on Calvary. I believe that's why He did it. He died for the sins of the world. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son." And you ought to be able to tell people that with confidence. Yes, Jesus Christ died for my sins. That's why I'm not going to hell. Because He died for my sins. I believe that with all my heart, and I know that's true. I stand on it, and I believe it. Why? Because it's God's Word. And you ought to be able to tell them that He didn't just die on the third day, which we can celebrate Easter. He rose from the dead. Right? Amen? He lives. Right? Isn't that what they said when Mary went to the tomb? He lives. Amen? He's not here. He lives. I believe that. I believe that. And I know it's true, as the old song says, because He lives inside my heart. Amen? See, if you don't know anything else about the Scripture, you can't remember. You can't remember those three facts of the Word of God and stand on them and have confidence in them. If you get telling somebody about why you go to church, say, "Well, I go to church because I love the Lord." That's all you got to say. I mean, I was thinking about that. I'm going to say this. There's multitudes of reasons, or if you would, excuses of why people don't come to church. And there's going to be multitudes of people going to hell. There's one reason you should come to church. Because you love the Lord. You know what He done for you. And you have faith in Him. And you reverence Him. This is His holy days that He set aside Sunday and Wednesday to have church. And we ought to be here. I don't mean to preach on church attendance. That's our pastor's job. But it irritates me and it bothers me that people don't come to the house of God just because they love the Lord. Amen? I like all of y'all. I love you. Brethren, I know some of you better than others. Brother Tim, I don't know much about him. We get to know each other a little better. But I love you, Brother Tim. But it ain't because of you that I come to church. I love my pastor. He knows it with all my heart. Man of God has helped me. He led my wife to the Lord. He led my son to the Lord. Several family members. I can't tell you what He's done for my family. I don't know where my family would be without a pastor that loves me. But I don't come to church because of my pastor. My pastor's good. I love my pastor. That ain't why I come to the house of God. I come to the house of God because I love the Lord. If you follow the pastor, if you follow the preacher, if you follow a friend, you'll follow. You follow the Lord. Amen. So many people's gotten away from a good man of God because they followed another pastor. They followed another teacher, a preacher that went somewhere else. I won't go there. But they got away from where they need to be. They're lost sheep now. We need them right back here where they belong. Pray for them. I got to shut it down. And my late pastor dug over. I'm sorry. Christian confidence. Another thing you need is a Christian conversation. That's that walk. And all the people saw him. Verse 9, all the people saw him walking and praising God. Hallelujah. People's watching us. If they can see you walking and praising God, they's going to know there's something different about you. You know, over there, the folks looked at Peter and John after that meeting. And by the way, there was 5,000 saved at this meeting. This fixed to take place here. 3,000 got saved the day before, and there's 5,000 got saved. And they looked at them boys and they said, man, there's something different about them. They've been with Jesus, right? Amen. Spend more time with the Lord and you'll grow in your Christian character.
Thank you so much for listening to the sermon today. We hope and pray that you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. The Bible says in the Gospel of John, chapter 3, verse 16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." The Bible says in John chapter number 14 that Jesus saith unto them, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Our prayer here at Open Door Baptist Church is that you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. The Bible says that if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. No matter what you've done, no matter where you've been, Jesus Christ loves you. He died for you, and He's more than capable and more than willing to cleanse you from unrighteousness and from your sins and make you a child of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The Bible says if you repent, turn from your sin and turn to Jesus Christ and by faith believe in His death, His burial, and His resurrection for your salvation, you too can be saved. Our prayer is that you think upon this and that very soon you'll make an eternal decision to receive Jesus as your personal Savior. Thank you so much.